website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day on this broadcast. You, our listener, make up this program. We are thankful for you and for your interest. You're tuning in each day, day in and day out. And then for those of you that jump in with the dialogue and discussion, it makes the program. We look forward to that. We'll have a brief monologue today. After the monologue, we invite you to call in. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. Asking a little unusual question today for the issue. As we get into the meat of the subject and the issue that we're talking about today, you'll a little better understand the issue I'm calling, should Christians care? Should we be concerned? Should we be watchful? Should we be fearful? No. But should we care about what's taking place in America and around the globe? That's my question today, and I think you'll have a little better insight and grasp on that when we get into the depth of the monologue and then the broader subject today we're talking about, as we see Christians being prosecuted, persecuted, churches being burned, Christians being slaughtered just because of their faith. And when we look at, secondly, when we see what is taking place, we're on the very threshold, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me and hear me well. We're on the threshold of a brand new pandemic. We're on the very threshold of watching the CDC, the FDA, the federal government, and many state governments and wannabe dictator mayors that will be ready to do the mask mandate, the lockdown, the forced jabs, et cetera, et cetera. We're on the fast track for that. Should we care? As Christians, should we be concerned? Should we recognize what's happening and be prepared for it? I say yes. I say that we need to be prepared. We're watching the world rapidly changing today, ladies and gentlemen. We're witnessing the last day alignment of nations with the global players being put in place. We'll talk about that as preliminary introduction to the broader issue that we're talking about today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We do so based on seeing everything through a central biblicist worldview. That means taking every event, those events taking place locally, statewide, nationally, and globally, we look at them through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Does God's word issue any insight or anything as far as directive as to what we should do, how we should respond? I believe it does. When you look at what I call the truth book, the Bible, John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, made a profound statement. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're free in the Lord Jesus Christ today, and as we study his word, we realize, and as we understand his word and apply his word, we realize that we are not going to be brought captive to the whims and the wishes of the dictatorial mindset that's found in governmental authorities around the globe, including United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus then says in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that should have the first, foremost, and final decision in what we say and do in life and living. Psalms 117:2 says, it's the truth of the Lord that endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, the secularist George Orwell of yesteryear, he was the author of the dystopian novel entitled 1984, published in the late 40s. 1984, in that novel, Orwell said this, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be truthful today. If you question the COVID jab, if you question the elections of 2020 and 2022, if you question the sodomite agenda in our schools before the school board, if you question what is being done and said in relationship to the destruction of First Amendment rights as a cudgel against Donald Trump, if you question any of these things, if you stand for truth, ladies and gentlemen, we're considered by the Department of Justice today to be domestic terrorists. We're finding today a major push against truth in our nation today as never before. We need to recognize what is taking place. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that probably nailed it better than any other person I've heard speak on the subject. Headline says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Now, when you analyze just the headline, the problems that we're having in America today, he said, are linked to the death of truth. If truth no longer exists, anything goes. It goes back to in the biblical record, the book of Judges, says every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place in America today. It was Jim DeMint that said this, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. We find that to be rampant today. I was saddened further, already familiar with, but saddened even more yesterday in reading a major article about Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley has basically left the Christian faith. Andy Stanley is now openly embracing and having conferences in his church to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, I can go into great detail. That's not the focus of the day's broadcast, but I point that out for you to understand that we're faced with the death of truth because truth is no longer sought, and our churches are responsible. This is the reason I asked the question today, should Christians care? Should Christians be concerned? I could broaden that. Should conservatives and patriots care? Should conservatives and Christians and patriots be concerned with what we see happening on a local, national, statewide, and global basis? I say yes. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge, that we seek the truth, love it, tell it, defend it, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the answer to the spin that we're in today in our nation. It is a downward spiral that we're in, and it's because we've left off from standing on the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag, a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole, U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flag and the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. You're invited, ladies and gentlemen, to drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family. Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today asking a question, should Christians care? Should we be concerned? Should we become involved? You see, I'm concerned about that from the standpoint of what is happening in churches with pastors and the pulpits and the mindset for so many years, 50, 60 years now, pastors have preached in the pulpits that churches ought not to be, Christians ought not to be involved in the political arena. They've deemed everything that is outside Jesus as being political. But ladies and gentlemen, God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And anything that we discuss in those three broad brush categories are biblical. Central Biblicist viewpoint says that we need to be concerned. We need to be actively involved. We need to take a stand for truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I touched on this a little earlier in the brief introduction to the monologue. We're watching today our nation rapidly changing. We're witnessing what I believe we're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, is the alignment of nations as we see in the scripture, where the nations are coming together that formulate the last days actors on the stage. We're watching this come about today, perhaps more rapidly than any other time in the history of America. I'm concerned because I look at Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And you've heard me say many times, I believe we're in the state of mourning in America today. I'm not saying we're in the state of good morning America. We're in the state of mourning in America today as a result of the unrighteous being in control. When you look at Joe Biden and the Joe Biden entourage and the Biden family cabal and what the Biden administration has done, they've done more in a little over three years than I believe the history will record of all the presidents combined in history past. We're watching the decline of America, morals, ethics, and values, more so than in the history of our great nation. Today, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little snippet, big picture, boiled down very, very succinctly. We're talking about the alignment of nations. We see today the alignment of Russia with Syria, Iran, North Korea, the major part of Africa, and I could go on and on and on with the Russian alliances today. In fact, right now, today, Biden is speaking at the United Nations. The major players, Russia and China and two other nations, are not even showing up. They already understand that they are in control. And Biden is going to be there stumbling and mumbling, causing a greater consternation and laughing at America than we've had before. But ladies and gentlemen, eventually, may I say this, we're watching the Ukrainian-Russian war. And with that war, I've said now for almost 2 years since it started that we're watching the spark that explodes into global World War III that eventually, according to the scripture, will rumble into the final days of the cataclysmic war, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, that's not stretching it at all. That's looking at the biblical, looking with a biblical worldview at what God is doing and what is taking place. I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, we need to ask the question, should Christians be concerned? Yes. Should we speak about it? Yes. Should Christians talk about it? Speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. I tell people we need to stand up, speak up, look up, because we'll soon be lifted up. And if we are not willing to do that today, where will we be in the future if Jesus tarries? Every believer, I believe, must care. We must be aware. We must watch. We must be concerned. Today, for example, ladies and gentlemen, something that is silent in the marketplace news media. There's total silence about the Islamic jihadists burning churches and slaughtering Christians by the thousands in major portions of Africa. Listen, I've got a headline. Major power moving to eliminate any visible evidence of Christianity. China long has persecuted Christians, censoring and suppressing them, formalizing all sorts of discrimination against them, even jailing and killing Christians in China. Even when the government there was printing Bibles, the suppression was there. As it only allowed people to have Bibles, the government deemed allowable. Now, a new report is warning that the communist regime is trying to suppress any visible presence of Christianity in all of China. According to the report from the Christian Institute, it is Release International, which focuses its ministry on helping Christians around the globe, they said new restrictions have popped up all across China. Quote, according to RI, that's Release International, the new measures confirm all religious activities to official venues, confine all religious activities to official venues, and ban the outdoor display of any religious symbols. It also said, quote, places of worship can no longer be named after any denomination, churches, or individuals. Religious leaders must clearly show that they're supporting the Communist Chinese Party and its leadership. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, a missing link in this article, about, I reckon it's been 5 or 6 years ago now, the mandates of the regime in China was that Bibles need to be reprinted, and rather than worshiping Jesus, praising Jesus, looking at God as the final authority, Bibles had to be updated to focus on and praise and worship the Communist Chinese Party and its leadership. That's what we see happening. Now, further, we find this taking place. Places of worship can no longer be named after denomination, churches, individuals. The religious leaders must clearly show that they're supporting the Communist Chinese Party and all of its leadership. The moves have become like the tightening of the screws designed to eliminate the visible presence of Christianity in China. The question then is asked as kind of a footnote to this article, and let me read it carefully for you. Is what's happening in China a harbinger of what's coming to America very soon? End quote. That's the challenge as I read an article like this. Because as I've said for many, many years, if you want to know where America will be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, look at what's happening around the globe, especially look at what is happening in Europe, because we're just a few steps behind Europe and the decline of morals and ethics and values and spirituality. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the, the crushing of Christianity. We're witnessing, even in America today, the closing the door to morals and ethics and values, which are the major principles that you find in biblical Christianity. Listen, I'm looking at a news article from J. Sekulow, ACLJ, and this says, President Biden is illegally using taxpayer grants to target conservative Christians in America who disagree with his agenda. The deep state has labeled conservative media like Fox News, Christian Broadcasting Network, Turning Point USA as hate groups and paths to extremism, end quote. Now that's silent. You don't hear that on the Communist Network News. You're not hear that on CNBC. You're not hear it on CBS, ABC. You won't even hear that on Fox News. It's very brief, so let me read those two brief paragraphs again. Jesse Sekulow, ACLJ, dated September the 16th. President Biden is illegally using taxpayer grants to target conservative Christian Americans who disagree with his agenda. The deep state has labeled conservative media like Fox News, the Christian Broadcasting Network, and Turning Point USA as hate groups and paths, P-A-T-H-S, paths to extremism, end quote. He goes further to say, that's a direct violation of our Constitution. And he further says, and we're taking legal actions to fight back against it. And he goes on to talk about the different groups and what's being said and done to basically demean and destroy their influence in society today because of it being moral and ethical and conservative, if nothing else, just conservative, the conservative aspect of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we see today Christians in North Korea and China, Russia, Iran, even in the UK, being persecuted, prosecuted, even executed for their faith. Why the silence? Why the silence? Why is it if this were taking place around the globe against other ethnic groups or other groups, religious groups, there would be a hue and cry from the Marxist media, the Communist Network News in America. We see total silence with these things taking place. For example, here's an article. Tensions run high as more Christians are accused of blasphemy in Pakistan. A Christian couple in Pakistan's Punjab province have been charged with blasphemy, rising alarm about the misuse of the nation's contentious religious laws less than a month after the mob attacked and targeted over 80 Christian homes and 19 churches in the same province. As the homes, the people are destroyed, the churches are destroyed, and nothing being said. Total silence on the media, from the media. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make with that suggestion of silence is that there seems to be an attitude that it's not on American soil, and therefore it cannot hurt Americans, therefore it must be all right, because it's just those in a foreign land. But I'm telling you, when you analyze the totality of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, we see what is taking place on a global basis as a harbinger of things to come in America, as we see Christians being persecuted, churches being destroyed on a wholesale basis internationally. When we see these things taking place, ladies and gentlemen, there's a little, how would you say, glimmer of hope in some of this. I'm looking at a headline that says, a Christian student group must be treated like other campus organizations. Now, you see, across America, in our educational system, we have Christian clubs, Christian religious groups that are trying to meet. For the most part, the boards of education say, no, you can't do that. At least one group fought back. Here's the article, dated September the 14th. A court ruling in a fight involving a California school district has resulted in a ruling that officials can't selectively enforce discriminatory policies against a Christian group while exempting secular groups. The decision comes from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in the case of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes versus San Jose Unified School District Board. The case was decided based on the First Amendment precedents. This article reads, the appeals court ruling addressed the decision by San Jose in 2019 to de-recognize, never heard that term before, I reckon it's legitimate, to de-recognize the FCA. It seems a teacher had complained that the FCA members discussing issues, including their faith, their family, and their religion on campus. Specifically, the teacher complained about the millennial old biblical belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. So to translate the article, the teacher heard in the Bible discussion about the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, about the transgender dysphoria, discussion about God says there's one man and one woman, Genesis 1:27, for example. God created male and female, created he them. God didn't create 157 different genders. He created two. And because the teacher heard those discussions, then the teacher complained. As a result of that, the school board said, no, the Christian club can't meet. But fortunately, they were willing to take it to court. It was the Beckett Fund, B-E-C-K-E-T, for Religious Liberty that filed the action against the school in 2020. And the injunction that they asked for was originally denied by the lower courts. They went on to the appeals court and got relief. The appeals court said, and I'll read it again, Christian student groups must be treated like other campus organizations, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a little respite out of a dark, dark, dark world that's coming against spirituality, Christianity, on a wholesale basis. We need to understand what is happening in our nation and around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to jump in at any point, ask your question, give your, two cents worth. We're talking about today a variety of issues with the central question being, should Christians care? Should we be concerned? Should we intervene? Should we have something to say or do? Most churches today, as I understand it, and talking with people in general, most churches today, the pastor is silent in the pulpit on what is called political issues. Most churches today, the pastors are silent, refusing to talk about the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. Most churches today, the pastors are silent in condemning anything that would be called teaching the Marxist CRT in the classroom. Most pastors are silent talking about the Black Lives Matter, and it's not really about black lives, it's about Marxism permeating America. Most will not talk about the Planned Parenthood and the abortion murder clinics that's across America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Your help is needed to defeat Planned Parenthood's abortion amendment to the Florida Constitution. Now listen carefully. This article reads, as many of you know, Planned Parenthood has been gathering signatures for an abortion amendment to the Florida Constitution. If passed, the amendment will allow unrestricted abortion on demand up to and until the moment of birth. Planned Parenthood and its allies in the Democratic Party have already gathered over 800,000 signatures that's needed to put the abortion amendment on the 2024 general election ballot. Christian leaders are called to protect the unborn, and it goes on to talk about how, when, what, and where. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the implosion of morals and ethics and values while Christians remain silent. I believe it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Right after the top of the hour news break, we'll come back and continue our discussion on things that have taken place in America and why Christians should be concerned, why we should speak up and stand up, be heard. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Exchange for five Iranians detained by the U.S., five Americans who had been held by Iran are now back home. The prisoner swap included the release of $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets. Critics say that sets a new bounty for future detainees. President Biden is in New York City this morning. He is addressing the United Nations General Assembly. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is also to address the General Assembly today, and then he'll speak to the Security Council tomorrow. The housing market struggling. The housing starts plunging to their lowest level in more than 3 years last month. Also falling in August, building permits, they dropped to close to 7% in the month of August. On Wall Street this morning, stocks are in the red. The Dow down 170 points, while the NASDAQ is off 93 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Do you have earned college credits but no diploma? Would you like to finish your certified degree program? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to schedule your interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admission staff to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today that's a very pertinent question, one that I believe can be responded to in the affirmative if you hear what is being said. I go back to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 10. How should we then live? And Ezekiel had just gone through discussing, talking about the problems in the world and things taking place. And based on that, how should we then live? I'm asking the question today, should Christians care? Should we be involved? The mindset is just be silent, say nothing, keep your head down, and everything will be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not true. God did not create us to be silent. He created us to be salt and light. Salt is a preservative in a decaying society. Light is illuminating in a darkened world. And we are to be involved in the process that's in our society today. Contrary to what is being said today, there ought not to be silence. There are a number of issues that we're looking at, balled up into, rolled up into, combined into this broadcast today, to try to make the point of the need for us to be aware of what's happening and to stand up and speak out about what is taking place. We see the global issues. We see the coming together of the alignments of the nations. By the way, when you see what's happening with Russia and the nations that's under their domination and control today, you go back and you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you realize very quickly that these nations are being lined up specifically, as we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia will lead a five-nation entourage of warriors against Israel, and it will blossom into that conflagration that is known as the Battle of Armageddon. Following the war with Russia, we find the Battle of Armageddon wrapping up this whole universe. But ladies and gentlemen, just before the top of the hour news break, I was sharing an article. It's entitled, Your Help is Needed to Defeat Planned Parenthood's Abortion Amendment to the Florida Constitution. Now, did you know, do you realize that there are two things that's very important coming up, and this is a year away, and I understand that, but on the November 2024 ballot, the citizens in the state of Florida will have at least two amendments, maybe others. I'm aware of two. One will be to amend the Florida State Constitution to give unfettered abortion in the state of Florida. Unfettered. That means right up until the moment of birth, the physician can kill that human being in the mother's womb. This article, Your Help is Needed to Defeat Planned Parenthood's Abortion Amendment to the Florida Constitution. Let me read the two paragraphs again. As many of you know, Planned Parenthood has been gathering signatures for an abortion amendment to the Florida Constitution. If passed, the amendment will allow unrestricted abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. Planned Parenthood and its allies in the Democratic Party have already gathered over 800,000 signatures that they plan to put the abortion amendment on the 2024 general election ballot. Now, here's the right of this article. I'll read the invitation that's given. Christian leaders call to protect the unborn. We will have an important organizational meeting on October the 5th at the Southeast Regional Library at 10599 Deerwood Park Boulevard, 2:30 p.m. till 4:30 p.m. Your talent, skills, time, and efforts are critical if we're going to protect the unborn in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, if you call, if you didn't get that, you're interested in me giving that information to you again, you call to the broadcast today and I can reiterate that for you. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness, that is rightness before God, exalteth, that means to lift up, to glorify a nation. But sin is the reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. Ladies and gentlemen, what we see happening in America today should recognize as being shameful, recognized as being sinful, recognized as being immoral and ungodly and unholy. We need to be willing to speak up, stand up, and no longer be in silence as a nation and as a people and as Christians in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, we have also coming up on the ballot, November 2024, the legalization of marijuana in the state of Florida for recreational use. And I say that, pause to give you clarity. Already we have on the Constitution for the state of Florida, by the way, the Constitution, we've had some 125 amendments in 27, 28 years to the Florida State Constitution. We've had only 27 amendments in the lifetime of our U.S. Constitution. We are undermining the value and the power of our Constitution in the state of Florida. What we see taking place, we have those special interest groups, deep-pocketed special interest groups, that realize they cannot pass legislation through our constitutional republic, representative form of government. And so they circumvent that by paying anywhere from $2 to $8 per signature to get petitions signed in order to put an, something on the agenda to be voted on by the public. In the state of Florida, we had medical marijuana that was approved by 71% of the Floridians when that went on the ballot. On the ballot November 2016, initially into force 27, January 2017. We've got pot shops on just about every street corner in the city of Jacksonville and yay across the state of Florida. And that was done in the preparation for the ultimate goal of having unfettered recreational marijuana in the state of Florida. That's where the money is. That's where the money is being made in other states today by the mega millions. And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the danger of it. The danger of it. Now, perhaps you've heard me say before on similar broadcast, when we talk about the legalization of marijuana, the legalization of medical marijuana, there was the mindset that we need that to help people that cannot get help with other medicines. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not true. In the state of Florida, we already had medical marijuana that if you really, really needed and your doctor writes a prescription, you go to the pharmacy and get the product, the drug that included the TCH or THC in that product. But they wanted it so that it was the opening of the door, the camel getting the nose in the tent to have future recreational marijuana, pot. Somebody recently on television said it was called not just pot, but it's called dope because it gets you doped up. That was a pretty powerful way to say it, so it sounded a little odd. But ladies and gentlemen, that's on the ballot for November of next year. I'm looking at a major, major article. It's about a 20-page article. It says, inside the rise and surprising crackdown of the country's hottest weed market. This article talks about Oklahoma in particular. We'll broaden that in just a moment. Shortly after sunrise, July the 22nd, a dozen or so police officers from across Oklahoma descended on a property about 15 miles north of the Texas border. They moved past the fence with the no trespassing sign and the pink building with the aluminum roof toward a collection of hoop houses. They didn't know much about the occupants, although the cops strongly suspected they were Chinese dissidents. Ultimately, the officers confiscated 2,300 plant marijuana plants, estimated street value of $3.5 million, about $65,000 in cash, and two men. They were taken into custody, and officials charged them with the legally controlled substance. Officials said the farm didn't have a valid license, rendering otherwise illegal marijuana and illicit goods. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the problem. And I'll just synthesize this major, major article. State of Oklahoma, with medical marijuana, they, in July of this year, the citizens had the opportunity to vote for recreational marijuana. They summarily rejected, I believe it was a 62-63% vote to reject recreational marijuana. Why did they do that? Because the state of Oklahoma has been devastated with the marijuana. In fact, according to this article, Chinese have bought up about 1 million acres of land in the state of Oklahoma for growing pot, for growing weed, marijuana. They are growing it and producing more than if every citizen in the state of Oklahoma, if every citizen in the state of Oklahoma were on pot, there'd be enough there for several times the need for each one. This article goes on to talk about Oklahoma's medical marijuana program has seen staggering growth in, since it launched 3 years ago after voters overwhelmingly backed the ballot referendum and earned the nickname, and gives it a nickname for being the capital, if you please. More than 380,000 Oklahomans, nearly 10% of the state's population, have enrolled in the program, making it the largest in the country per capita. Thanks to Oklahoma's free market approach in the legalization, there are no limits to the marijuana business licenses that cost just under $2,500 each. And it goes on to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, how it has destroyed the morals, the ethics, and the values, how it has overwhelmed the law enforcement in trying to enforce the laws there, and it parallels what I've done in my research down through the years for Colorado, California, Oregon, Washington State. Ladies and gentlemen, state of Colorado, because of recreational marijuana, all crimes from the time it went into effect, 3 years later, crime had increased 547% across the board with all crimes. Preteens and teenagers dying as a result of marijuana overdose because of eating chocolate chip cookies, bubble gum, chewing gum, gummy bears. And I could go on and on. There's hundreds of products that's being manufactured today, packaged to look just like the authentic product, but it is laced with marijuana. As a result of that, in the state of Colorado, and they have found the same thing in the state of Oklahoma, where foreclosures have skyrocketed, family abuse, spousal abuse skyrocketed, the loss of home ownership skyrocketing, law enforcement saying that they cannot handle the traffic violations and the crashes and the maiming and killing of people in highway accidents as a result of marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get us to understand is there are two major things on the ballot that are very, very serious for the state of Florida. Recreational marijuana, we need to say no. You need to tell everybody to research it and determine in advance to say no on that ballot initiative. And then murder by way of abortion, so that a child can be murdered in the mother's womb right up until the moment of delivery. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a major, major problem with those two things. And when it comes to the marijuana aspect of it, there's the mindset somehow, some way, just as in Colorado, that the state says we can capture mega tax dollars if we simply legalize it. That hasn't happened in Oregon. It hasn't happened, ladies and gentlemen, in California. It has not happened, ladies and gentlemen, in Colorado or Washington State. It hasn't taken place in Oklahoma. It is a farce. And most of those studies that claim those things, the studies are done by the marijuana growth industry. Looking at a headline, brutal marijuana studies now emerging. They have kept it basically secret for all of these years because most of the studies have been done by the marijuana industry. Now this article talks about approximately 10 years after all of these things have taken place, some real studies coming out. That's the reason the headline says, brutal marijuana studies now emerging. Article reads in part, for years, marijuana advocates claimed that if only America would loosen its restrictions, we'd all see how beneficial the drug is. But now, more than 10 years after the first effort to do just that, we're seeing that the critics were right. Liberal pot laws and increased usage are far from the panacea pot lovers claimed. Starting back in 2012, Colorado passed a law to allow private use of marijuana. Soon the state of Washington joined the centennial state and loosening its pot laws. Many more came in the following years, especially when the states began to realize it could tax legal marijuana and bring millions into their state treasures. Now even the federal government is looking to loosen the reins and is preparing to take pot off the state's schedule of prohibited drugs. A move said to be the first step in the decriminalization of marijuana in America. Here's the key to it, ladies and gentlemen. But now the states are finding that it's time to pay the piper as a raft of ill effects are spreading like wildfire across America. From mental health illness to addictions and impaired driving, the effects are more on many other areas are not as beneficial as the advocates had claimed. With a pool of more than 40 million pot users to look at, researchers are finding that recreational use of the drug is becoming an increasing problem everywhere in every nation that it's tried. Researchers have found that despite claims by pot advocates, the drug is just as addictive as any other drug. 41% of the users have developed major problems of depression. Let me pause there, ladies and gentlemen. It's been proven that marijuana is the gateway to every hard drug, cocaine and every other hard drug. Marijuana is the gateway. It opens the door. This article says it produces major depression. The research found that chronic marijuana quadruple risk of developing bipolar disorder, added to the rise of psychotic breaks, including thoughts of and death and suicide, with pot linked to 30% of the cases of schizophrenia. The research has added that people who already have a propensity for mental disorder often find that pot makes them worse and not better. I'll read just a couple of other brief paragraphs. New research found the University of Washington, the Kaiser Washington Health Research Institute, estimates that 20% of marijuana users become addicted, 21%, added that at least 4 million Americans have developed a disorder since taking pot. Another claim that many advocates have made is that pot will calm you and make you sleep more. That is simply not true, this writer says. They found 39% of the pot users develop total insomnia. Even more alarming, study says that pregnant women produce 70% higher risk of birth defects if they're using pot during pregnancy. Finally, the evidence seems irrefutable. Pot smoking is just as bad for your body as heavy tobacco smoking. Smoking anything, pot or tobacco, increases the risk of coronary artery disease and puts you at a high risk of lung disease. A study from Canada found that 3/4 of marijuana users had emphysema, a lung disease which leaves sufferers struggling to breathe, compared to 2/3 of the tobacco users, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I'm making, we need to understand what is happening in America. And my question goes back to, should we take a stand? Should we say something? Should we stand up, be heard, and be seen? I think that we should. But ladies and gentlemen, it even gets worse. Listen very carefully. We went through a COVID pandemic. We went through the lockdowns, the mask mandates, the COVID death jabs, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought we would have learned our lesson by now. But ladies and gentlemen, it seems that we haven't. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline. Hospital system imposes COVID vaccine mandate for all healthcare workers. A nationwide hospital system has introduced a draconian vaccine mandate for all healthcare workers across multiple states. The healthcare giant announced that all workers are now required, hear me, listen, now required to receive the latest COVID-19 vaccine. The mandate includes those who are already vaccinated and already boosted with previous shots. Workers also warned that the failure to comply with the new mandate could result in unpaid leave and or job termination. The article states here, we updated our COVID-19 vaccine policy for caregivers and need to receive the update COVID vaccine. This article states very, very clearly, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place with a major healthcare provider. Healthcare provider that has 120,000 employees. The article says it's the largest Catholic healthcare system in the country. 50 hospitals, 1,000 clinics, 120,000 employees total for all of the across-the-board services. The Providence Health Hospital System operates in 7 states, Alaska, California, Montana, Oregon, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming. Employees or caregivers have been given a deadline of November 30th to provide proof of vaccination. Those who fail to comply with the mandate will be removed from any schedule, placed on unpaid leave, and subject to termination, according to the announcement. The article states employees who choose not to get the vaccine for whatever reason, be it medical, religious, or personal, could find themselves out of a job. Ladies and gentlemen, are we about to see the repeat of the COVID pandemic? Are we about to see a fresh group of Marxist orders to lock down a city, to lock down a state, to lock down families, to mask up? Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida, we have Senate Bill 252, and it's an 18-page bill. We have Senate Bill 252. Time will not allow me to read major portions of the bill, but in Senate Bill 252 in the state of Florida, it makes it illegal for any organization, any hospital, any business to force putting on a shield, a mask, or forced vaccines. But ladies and gentlemen, it appears that in the nation in general, and I've got some questions about this, ladies and gentlemen, about Senate Bill 252, because there are other laws that intersect with it that seemingly contradict what Senate Bill 252 passed in April of this year, that's supposed to give citizens in the state of Florida freedom from the forced lockdowns, mask mandate, etc. It is a rapid return of the fear from COVID. I'm looking at an article dated the 18th of September. Plandemics are impossible without fear. The alternative media is doing their best to keep the culture of fear going with fake virus propaganda. The article, number three paragraphs long. There are many ways to look back historically at the great COVID con that began in 2020, commonly referred to as the alternative media by names such as plandemic, scamdemic, etc. Perhaps the best way to describe what happened in early 2020 that spread all across the world is to describe it as a pandemic of fear, because the majority of the people around the world who were exposed to this campaign had not responded in fear. It would have just been another garden variety virus that they have tried to use to create fear every year prior to COVID-19, such as bird flu, Zika, Ebola, etc. Fear was the key factor that enabled most of the world's population to accept emergency orders that suspended the Constitution of the United States and allowed the tyrants to lock us down, and then mandate experimental vaccines for this COVID-19 killer virus. The whole COVID-19 pandemic would have run the same course as other viruses and pandemics that preceded it and fizzled into nothing, if only fear had been absent in sufficient amounts as all the previous deadly pandemics. They were all scripted with the hope of the outcome that finally achieved in 2020. And it will be fear again that will lay the groundwork for the next pandemic. And fear is being kept alive today, mostly in the alternative news media, with stories that have appeared in recent days trying to scare people into believing that there's a new virus that is about to be unleashed on the entire public. And it goes on to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, says stop fearing, stop the fear virus. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're on the fast track for watching the government across America, starting out of the Oval Office, mandating vaccines, mandating masks, mandating lockdowns, getting prepared to steal the 2024 election. That's what happened in 2020 and 2022. They're planning on doing the same thing for the 2024 election, because there is a push to destroy the potential of Donald J. Trump being reelected as the President of the United States of America. The only way they can do that is to lock us down, prevent us from being able to go to the voting booths and cast our ballots. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we wake up as Christians. I think it's time we wake up as conservatives. I think it's time that we wake up as those that are patriots and take a stand. Stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Do not be in fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We need to place our hope and our trust and our confidence in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, nothing more and nothing less. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited.